This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill. I'm coming to you from beautiful downtown Clearwater, Florida. Last Saturday, I attended the Beach Babes Book Blast in Tampa. It was a wonderful event, and I hope it will become an annual one. There were so many writers and even happier readers who were really having a blast getting to meet their favorite authors. For any writer, it is thrilling to see the enthusiasm of readers. The readers lined up at the doors for the opening and burst into the ballroom, running from table to table to meet their authors. While I was there, I talked to so many authors, and one of them that I met and I really enjoyed talking to, I've invited to the studio today. That's an old favorite romantic song that's appropriate for a romance author. I invited today to the studio Kelly Abel, an international best-selling author. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know that the Beach Babes Book Blast was a lot of fun for everybody, and did you enjoy meeting the readers?
I did. It was so exciting to be able to have readers come in specifically to see me and to, you know, talk about, oh, I read this book by you, and they were great, I'd like to get some more, and they made the rounds and asked for autographs. It was a great day for any author that was there. I think we all had a great time.
And I saw you taking quite a few selfies with your fans, so that's a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Now, it's funny that you're a best-selling author, and among the places that you're a best-selling author is Japan.
Yes, yes, international best-selling in Japan, Denmark, and Germany.
Wow, what a range! You have to go into one of these book signings in Japan.
I know. What the lady I was sitting with, one of the other authors, Emmy Burton, she's going to Dublin for an author event. So I was thinking, wow, that would be a lot of fun, especially since my series is based on Irish characters.
Well, I'm sure it would be in Japan.
No, yeah, where
they are so such an enthusiastic. They're always very enthusiastic fans
exactly.
of when they like somebody. So that would be.
I'll have to look into that. You
have to absolutely
get my publicist on that away.
That's a good idea. I know that you're one of those people who's you've been writing since you were a kid, and it's always there's
right.
stories and tales that you've always wanted to tell. Tell me, have you saved all of your notebooks from when you were a kid? Do you still have a lot of them? It's so much fun to look back and see what you wrote when you were young.
I have some. I don't have all of them. I was a editor for the high school magazine, and it was called Sketches. So I do have the copies of those. So I wrote several short stories and things in that magazine. So I do have that, and I did a little mini series while I was in high school. So I do have those copies, but I don't think I'd let too many people see them.
I know, but it's still fun.
The quality was
well,
not so
you know,
great.
Someday you'll donate them to a college or something for research, and then everybody likes to have them. So you were writing along, but you had a life in between, a career and a husband, I think. And
yes, I have a husband and two children. And so yep, a lot of my time after high school was taken up with him and raising our two children. So I didn't really get seriously back into writing until probably 2000.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote a story then. It was a book. I got, actually, it was a great story. I was working at a company, and I had an employee that was working with me. And we were discussing, he worked for his church doing a lot of video presentations and things like that. So he was very creative, and we were talking about the creativeness. And I told him, you know, I really want to write a novel someday. And there's this book at Barnes & Noble I want to get called The Weekend Novelist, and I would love to read it and, you know, and put put a novel together. And he said, well, you should do it. And I said, yeah, I know, but I just don't have the time. Well, the very next day, he came into work with a Barnes & Noble gift card, and he handed it to me, and he said, you go write that novel. And so then I was guilted into it. I was like, wow, I have to get the book now. So I got the book, and I did. I wrote my first novel, dedicated it to him, and that was Sealed in Lies. And I've been hooked ever since. I just can't stop.
Well, I think you've gotten, 12 things,
yes,
on
12
Amazon.
Published articles.
That's,
yes,
right. Uh-huh. And so how did you get that first one published? Did you send in a query letters,
it took a long time to find the publisher that I found. And yes, I sent in multiple query letters, got multiple rejections. I tried for a while to get an agent. And, you know, I'm sure it was probably the quality of the query letter at the time. So you learn as you go along. And then I got accepted by Solstice Publishing. I sent a query into them. And in the day I got the news back that she wanted to take the book, I'm dancing around the kitchen and screaming and yelling. Nobody was home. It was just me. I'm trying to call everybody I know. Nobody answered. So it was like, oh, man, I'm celebrating all by myself. But I did celebrate. It was a lot of fun. I was excited. And so we did that book. And then I wrote a second book in that series. And she took that one as well. And I had a young adult book that I finally did, Haunted Destiny, after that one. And I had a good friend of mine that I met through just various writing groups. And she started a publishing company. So I went with her for two additional books that I had written. So,
well, that's
it, just kind of took off from there. Yeah,
that was a great start. Those were romance.
Romance suspense. Yeah, they've got.
Romance.
I would even go so far as to maybe say romantic thrillers. They're pretty action packed, so, but they are romance.
But you write now in several different genres.
I do. I write a lot of different sub genres of romance, like suspense, paranormal, contemporary romance, and then I also have the young adult horror, and I am marching into the foray of historical fiction. That's going to be my next project that I'm working on right now, is a historical fiction, and it will have a romantic element to it, but it's more action adventure than romance. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, I know you have a book. You wrote a trilogy, and
yes,
it's the third book in the trilogy is coming out now.
It's just released in March, so
it's already out.
Just released.
And tell us, this is the Shenanigans.
Saving Shenanigans series.
It's a great title.
Thanks. Shenanigans, my son and I and my husband were at dinner one night, and for some reason he used the word. He said, well, boy, they're up to some shenanigans. He was talking about his friends, and it clicked, and the story started in my mind, and it just went from there. So it's a story about three sisters and their father. It's actually set in Monticello, Florida, so it's not local to Tampa, but it is set in Florida. And the sisters inherit a pub from their father, who passes away suddenly. And in the first book, Mabe's Burden, he's left it in debt to the mob. So she's going to lose the pub if she can't come up with a way to pay the mob $250,000 from his gambling debt.
And it goes on from there.
Yes, and each sister has their own story and their own love interest. The second book, Meg's Secret, she has a secret from a boyfriend that she never thought she'd see again, and when she comes home, she does. And the third sister is an executive chef that had run away to New York at one point, got trained by one of the top chefs, and she comes back home with all her hoity-toity attitude, and the bartender is like, I think my food is just fine. So they get into a conflict, and he ends up rescuing her. She gets kidnapped at one point in the book. So there's some suspense in there as
suspense,
well.
Suspense, there's lots of, it sounds like some action and suspense. It sounds great. It's a growing trend, I think, that people are writing trilogies.
I always enjoy reading them. And
exactly. Fans like a character and they want to know more.
Right. And then they get introduced to other characters throughout the book.
Uh-huh.
And there's another character in the book that has a bed and breakfast in. And I actually got one of my fans in England wrote me an email, and she said, oh, are you going to do her story? So we can even branch off from there with, uh-huh, you know, other characters that get introduced. So it's a lot of fun.
So now in the romance fiction, how many words are you doing in your books?
They vary. This series that I did, each book was right around 65,000 words. Mm-hmm. So right, so not a heavy duty novel, but you know, probably on your slimmer side. But Sealed in Lies it's probably around close to 100,000, I would think. It's about 500 pages. So. Oh. So it varies. It just kind of, I take the story as long as it needs to go. And
that's the best way to do it. So were you always a fan of a romance? Or?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've always been a fan of romance. I was a Harlequin reader when I was a teenager. We'd go to the library and get stacks and stacks of books and take them home and spend the weekend reading them in the backyard.
So how did you sort of shift over to the paranormal side? Were you influenced by certain writers like Stephen King, Dean Koontz?
He is one of my favorites. I do love Stephen King a great deal. And it, you know, just through experience, I've always liked ghost stories. I grew up reading, you know, Goosebumps and, you know, and all those scary kind of stories. And the paranormal was, a lot of my author friends were writing it. So I just was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And I wrote a short novella called Blood Harvest Moon that was about a shifter, and he doesn't know he's a shifter, and he meets a witch who's destined to be his mate, and she kind of helps him into his first shift. And then my daughter, she was never much of a reader, and I always wanted her to be, and I said, if I wrote something for you, what would you like? And she was a real fan of the Click books, which were a series about girls in Hollywood that were going through high school. She said, I want a Click ghost story. And I thought, how am I going to make this happen? And then Haunted Destiny, the idea for Haunted Destiny was born. So that we added in my experience reading horror and wrote that one. It has some pretty scary scenes in it, but it is basically about a teenage medium, you know. So
yeah, I think that's to write the paranormal books, or when you have horror in it, it seems to me a little even more difficult than the romance, because you really have to pace the suspense.
Correct.
And pace the
build it up, and then it matters when you build the suspense and then what happens at the climax, because if you've built it up and then something goofy happens, it just lets the reader down. So you do have to really kind of plot those out a little better than
Which book was that?
That was Haunted Destiny.
Haunted Destiny. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be also a series?
It is. Yeah, I had planned for it to be a series. I just hadn't got some other things popped into my head that I wanted to write first, but I am actually working on two. I'm kind of doing two projects at once. So I do have the second book and pretty much plotted out. I just have to finish writing it.
And you're telling me that you do all of this and you have a full-time job, too.
I do. I'm a glutton for punishment.
You're like, she has a day job.
And I do all this at other times.
Yeah. When do you write?
I write mostly early in the morning. I'll get up sometimes 4 or 5 o'clock. And then later in the evening, I'll do a couple hours a night. I usually set a goal of like 1,500 words a day and try to hit that when I can. So.
Well, it's so important that writers, when they start writing, they need to be motivated.
It takes discipline. It like anything else that you're going to do, it really does take discipline. And for me, to set those goals helps really keep me on track, and I can measure my progress, too, as I go.
And do you use a particular program to write in, or how do you?
I don't. I just use Word. There's a couple of Facebook apps that I will track my progress on occasionally if I happen to think about it. But for the most part, I just kind of let the story guide me. And
are you one of these people who does an outline before you start writing, or do you just write?
I would say I'm kind of a hybrid. I do a chapter outline where I do a couple of sentences per chapter and try to take it all the way through to the end, and then I will vary from that from time to time, just because the characters will take me in a different direction. But most of the time I do try to pretty much stick to my main plot. I haven't done it too often, but I have with one book wrote the ending before I wrote the rest of it. So I've only done that once, but but it worked pretty well for that particular story. So
now tell me, when to encourage writers, mm-hmm. I like to tell them that they have to not just write, but they have to set up a platform. Mm-hmm. And one of the things many people don't think about is, really early on when they start writing, they should get their name. They should preserve their name on a web page.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are not ready yet to put up their web page, they really
get their domain.
They have to get their domain done.
I would agree, definitely.
Your web page is.
My web page is KellyAbleBooks.com.
Yep. Okay, because that is really important. So people, particularly with common names,
mm-hmm.
get it early on, because then you can't, and then you have to come out with initials or something. So it really helps if you do that early on. We're going to take a short break and hear from my sponsors, and then we'll be right back and hear more from Kelly.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
The City of Dunedin introduces baseball done our way. Start with a morning on our pristine beaches. Next, off to downtown for some unique shopping, then a bit of lunch at one of our many award-winning restaurants, and now time for an afternoon game at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium. Finish the day off with a sunset cruise on the Gulf. A day in Dunedin, a day done our way. For more information, go to dunedingov.com.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring. At Buccaneer Bay, Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and we're back with my guest, Kelly Abel, an international best-selling author. But before I forget, I want to announce that there's a very interesting challenge for any poets or writers who like a challenge. It's actually almost a game. It's called Poem a Day, P-A-D, PAD. I will put a link on my writer's webpage. It's sponsored by the Writer's Digest, and it's really fun. If you haven't ever written a poem, it's a chance to get yourself published. What they do is every day they give one word, and from that word, you are given free rein to write any kind of poem you like. The other day it was how, and you could do anything you wanted to with that poem. You could write how beautiful the sunset, or how wonderful my husband is, or you could even take it and turn how into howling, and like howling at the moon. So you can do whatever you want with that first word, and then just flow with it and write a poem. And it can be a serious poem, a sad poem, a funny poem, And at the end of the month, they take all the poems that they find, you know, that are interesting and fun, and they put them in a little anthology called Poem for Your Heart, Poem Your Heart Out. And it's very nice to have it in a little book. So think about going to that web page and finding out how you can submit your poem and get published. Kelly,
yes.
Have you ever written a poem?
I have. I don't consider myself a poet. I'm too wordy. It's hard for me to really trim it down.
My problem is I'm too rhymey. I like poems that rhyme.
I respect poets a lot.
I do.
It's a skill.
It's much harder than it looks.
It is.
But when in this Writer's Digest thing, it's fun. And if
it sounds
go to
exciting.
My what's fun? It's you see really what people can do. It's amazing. When you're given sort of that little nudge.
That's
sometimes what you need, that little nudge. And, like, I think the person who looked at the word how and turned it into howling was the clever.
Very creative,
yes. Everybody else was doing how this, how that. But that they saw those three letters, and they said, oh, howling. I'm howling at the moon. and it turns out to be a very cute poem. So
that's
awesome. I love that kind of thing where writers have this
that spontaneous creativity.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's wow,
wonderful.
How did I do that? I came up with that. I'm so glad. And then, of course, now that you know that, every time you look at a word, you're going to say,
at it differently.
At it differently, which is in itself a wonderful gift to have.
Yes,
it is. By doing this little contest, I am now looking at. I can take any word, first part of a word, and say, make it into something else, and it just makes it a lot of fun.
That's
I think that's part of what writing is.
Absolutely,
it's having fun.
Absolutely,
and not everyone, has what it takes to be a writer, and not everyone. But although they say 80% of everyone thinks they have what it takes to be a writer. So, in fact, I do think everyone has a book of them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know until you try. And, you know, it was funny. My guest last week was author Douglas Brunt.
Right.
And he's a best-selling author now. But he was a CEO of his own company. Mm-hmm. And he never thought that he would stop being a CEO, a businessman, an entrepreneur. And then while he's waiting for planes and while he's in the airports, instead of, wasting his time, he was just jotting down things. And suddenly he realized, I've got a book.
Oh, what a neat idea.
And, of course, he showed it to his wife. It was nice that his wife is Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
And she said, whoa. I believe she calls him babe. I'm sure she said, and I would call him babe.
Yeah.
I spent
probably an appropriate word.
Oh, I had a very hard time in my program last week because I made the serious mistake. I have a computer here, and I put up his Facebook page. Now I put up your Facebook page, and it doesn't do anything for me.
Oh,
but I put
I
put up his Facebook page, and he is so gorgeous that I'm like, I'm talking to you, but I'm looking at your page. I'm talking to you.
So, so distracted.
It was very distracting. I said to him at the end, I said, I can't ever do this again because next time you come on, and he's going to come on again. I said, next time you come on, I'm not putting your Facebook page. Well, actually, I offered to send him a ticket because, I mean, why should I look at his Facebook?
Oh, exactly. You should have him here in person.
That's right. Because it was very funny. At the Beach Babes Book Blast, several of the romance authors had their cover models with them.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, yes, they did. Now, there was one woman, I can't invite her on the show because her books are not quite appropriate for the show, but I could, I almost would have made an exception because she flew down from New York with her three cover models.
Yes, her three very gorgeous cover models.
They were so gorgeous.
They were
so big and so...
I enjoyed that part of the day very much.
Yes, well, so did
everybody. Now,
telling you ladies out there, if the next time you hear of a book signing, particularly with romance book author, you check it out. If they're bringing their cover models, attend.
Yes.
Go there. It's worth it just for the selfies because the readers there, it was so funny. They were just lined up to get their photos. Well, I mean, look at this. You have a book. You buy a book, and you have the book, and you have the guy's picture on it. And then you go there and you have your picture with him. So it makes the book all that more personal.
It does. It's a lot of fun.
And I thought that was a very clever idea to do that. And I believe, I don't know if her husband thinks it was very clever. I don't know if her husband thinks it was very clever. I told my husband that I might start writing romance novels and travel with models.
Touring with your models, yes.
I mean, if she can come down from New York.
How tough is that?
I mean, you know, and they're tax deductible.
There
I'm
you
sure.
go. See,
because it's an expense. You save your receipts from Starbucks, and you save your receipts from this, you know. You buy a bottle of water, Walgreens, you save it, you say, I'm going to deduct that bottle of water for sure.
No kidding.
Now, think of what you can deduct when you take three big guys.
Hungry men.
You got a lot of deductions there.
Yes, you do.
So, that was a lot of fun. I know you're going to be doing some more of these events, and we'll talk about them later on. But I just wanted to say that I know that, you know, you do encourage writers, and it's funny that after you got involved in being an author yourself, and you got involved, I believe, with a friend who went into publishing.
Mm-hmm.
You have really taken on helping authors
getting
into the marketplace, not just finding the helping them to find publishers, or in a way, and also self-publish to
correct
help people self-publish,
help them independently publish, right?
Independently publish. So you do that, and you've set up a company, and I noticed that you have a web page. Tell everybody the name of your web page.
The company is called Selecto Graphics, and the website is selectographics.com, and graphics is spelled G-R-A-F-I-X.
It's a very nice website.
Thank you. You have
there really everything. You know, most writers don't understand, I've talked to quite a few writers, and they say, I've got the book done, and I'm going to self-publish. I'm not going to try. You know, it's not maybe big enough for one of the New York agents, and I'm going to self-publish, and it's a good book, and I'm ready to do it, and I can go and do it. And I say, okay. let's step back here a little bit. First of all, the first thing you need is an editor.
Oh, definitely. I say that all the time, and a professional editor, someone that you know does a professional job, and you will have to pay for it. But I'll tell you, that's the best money spent if you're going to independently publish, because a reader or a blogger or a reviewer will just tear your book apart if it's not professionally edited, and you end up not looking like the professional writer that I think you want to be if you don't do that. So,
exactly,
most important thing.
Oh, it is. Now I've met quite a few people in the area here in Tampa Bay area, very very good editors, and I'm starting I'm starting a blog. I'm not as blog crazy as you are. You're like she's like, I don't know, you blog like all the time. You're amazing.
I try to do it a couple times.
But
a week,
I am starting a list of
wonderful
people who
that's
are
great.
Editors.
A source list,
so that people can find the editors and I know what types of books different editors like to do because it's important. Once you get there, that's not the end.
Right. Oh, definitely not. Well, and with editing, a lot of writers think they can edit their own work, and you just can't. I was an editor at one point, and looking at my books, I leave out words because they're in my mind, and my eyes will see them on the page, and they're not there. So you just cannot edit your own work. It is so important to have somebody else really look at it and then proof it. Maybe even a separate person proofread it after it's been edited for last minute, you know, punctuation details or misspelled words or left out, you know, because a lot of times you'll use the word T-H-E-R-E and mean T-H-E-I-R, and spell check won't catch that.
Oh, so. Exactly. It's so funny. And the thing is, I generally speaking, your family members cannot proofread. I mean,
No.
The only person I know who has somebody in a few people who have somebody in their family who can proofread is I do. My sister is one of those people who, she can proofread, she can find, she will take a library book, and she will read the library book, and she will find every mistake in there.
those are great people to have, I tell you.
It's so amazing. She noticed all the there, all the tutus, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because, you know, it drives you crazy when you're reading a book.
And you do run across that.
And yeah, I did recently read a book that had quite a few errors, and you think, oh, you know, when sometimes when it's done by the big companies, I think, like, whoa, what were they doing?
Yeah.
They
do it deliberately. But it does happen.
It does happen.
They do slip through it.
But
right
my
then.
Sister is, like, my sister Natalie.
Oh, you're lucky to have her.
Oh,
that's
no,
awesome.
Natalie can, she finds everything. I could fly her to New York and put her at Simon & Schuster.
And she'd do well.
Oh, she could be it. I mean, it's amazing. But then once you have your editor, and once you, the editor says, oh, okay, it's ready. Now you're talking another ballgame.
Yep.
First of all, you should have had your platform, or started your platform, which is getting your domain name. You have to have that, because
yes.
then everything else builds off of that. Once you have the web page, then you're going to do your Facebook page, then you're going to do your Twitter page,
right.
then you're going to do
all the social media marketing,
all of those.
Pinterest, Instagram, all kinds of opportunities out
you're
there.
You're doing all of those?
I'm not doing Instagram. I'm thinking about it, but I do have Facebook, Twitter. If you look on the internet.
People remember this one thing. She has a full-time job, a real job. What we call the writers, a real job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One that pays, you know,
pays the
health insurance,
yeah, exactly.
and that kind of stuff. So she
benefits.
Had a real job, and she is on. I mean, you do, well, besides that you blog. And mm-hmm. But she blog. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I hate most bloggers. No, it's true. If you read most bloggers, they, and I am against writers reading endless blogs, because you know, if it's not relevant, if it doesn't help you, you don't want to read blogs where people are talking about, you know, their bad hair day,
mm-hmm.
or you know, what their kids spilled on the floor, or that their dog is sick. You want to read blogs that are helpful.
Right.
Now, Kelly's blogs are helpful.
Oh,
they
you.
Are smart. They're clever. They're almost always, I think, about writing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any of her bad hair day
no.
once. she doesn't.
I keep my bad hair days to myself.
That's right. And she doesn't write endlessly about her children.
No, they would probably not like that.
Exactly. So she writes a blog that's useful, and that's what you need. You know, there's just so many hours in the day, although I think maybe Kelly has added a few that nobody's told
much.
Us about. Because, you know, as a writer, you're supposed to read a lot.
Yep, I do.
Somebody told me, well, you know, if you're going to write a thriller, like you're going to write something like a Brad Thor, well, you have to read 500 books that are like Brad Thor's, plus all of Brad Thor's. You know, where are you going to find the time to do
500
that?
500 books might be a little excessive.
That's a little excessive.
Five or six might be a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so if you're going to do it, but now you're in what we call this platform stage,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have all of this. And which social media do you like the best? I mean, which have you not the that you like the best? Actually, I'm not real fond of any of them.
Well,
because
that's true.
Because it takes so much time. But
well, and I don't think they do for authors what they used to do, say 5, maybe even 10 years ago, because they've changed. They want more advertising on their sites. So if you want people to see it, you've got to pay for the advertising. So it's not as useful as it used to be. But I tell you, my favorite is Twitter. I do a lot of tweets. I set up tweets weekly that go out, and they aren't just to buy my book. They're things about me as a writer and writing tips, and I share, you know, other tweets from other authors and people that have good blogs, like you say. I'll share. In fact, I did that yesterday. I had a lady who wrote, and it was funny you say that. She wrote an article about writers who complain about readers.
Oh.
And they complain about not writing reviews. You buy my book, but you didn't write a review. Or you wrote a review and you didn't like my book. What do you mean? And they'll blog about this, or they'll put it on Facebook or social media. And she was just going off about, please don't do that. You know, they don't have to buy your book to begin with, and they certainly don't have to review your book, and they don't even have to like it when they read it. So just You know what? Appreciate the fact that they bought the book.
And you hope that if they didn't like it, they don't review it. You really hope
that. This is true. You don't want to egg them on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, now I'm really going to write a review about you. Boy,
exactly.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. You've really steamed me now.
Yeah. You can't put that in a blog or in Facebook.
Exactly. So I emailed her right away, and I said, because I have different categories of things that I do, and one of the categories is putting on your online suit. And so I emailed her, and I said, can I please use this? Because one of the things I like to teach authors or writers is don't do this. Don't put your illness and your bad days and your all these things out on social media. Your readers want to know about your books. They want to know about you, and you are a professional. So act like a professional online. You wouldn't do this in the office. You know, you wouldn't say these things in the office, so don't say them online.
Okay, this is Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill and my guest, Kelly Abel. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Mother's Day is just around the corner. It's time to visit the Silver Queen, the premier location in the Tampa Bay area for gifts for all occasions. At the Silver Queen, you'll find the perfect gift for the queen in your life. From elegant earrings and jewelry bags to whatever mother loves. Beautiful photo frames that you won't find in the mall. So stop by the Silver Queen, located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Is there a wedding in your future? Then the Silver Queen is the place to go. They have an amazing selection of engagement and wedding rings, and their bridal registry will ensure that you receive gifts that you will treasure for a lifetime. How about a birthday? You must check out their musical Silver Plate Birthday Cupcake. It is the kind of gift that will be used year after year. It's just $40. It is the perfect gift for a baby's first birthday. Check out their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. Remember, the Silver Queen, 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. It is the store with the beautiful dome.
Have you been struggling with family conflict, depression, or trauma? Has something been keeping you up at night, causing excessive stress and worry? Tune in to Moments of Clarity every Wednesday night at 8. After over 10 years as a psychotherapist, I realized how important it is to take the stigma out of seeking professional help. So tune in Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. The call to me can be a great first step. It may just be exactly what you need to hear.
The biggest air show in the South is back in Lakeland. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo celebrates its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th. This year promises to be bigger, faster, and louder than ever before. Experience the heart-thumping, awe-inspiring performance of the Breitling Jet Team's U.S. debut and the Air Force Thunderbirds. See thousands of aircraft both in the air and on display, and an open flight line of historic warbirds. Sun and Fun offers fun for the whole family with daily air shows, a kids zone, a classic car show, and lots of great food. Florida residents can make it a weekend the family will remember by coming Saturday, April 25th and Sunday, April 26th to experience three shows for the price of one. See the Breitling team perform at 3 p.m. Stay for the night air show, which includes aerobatic flyers, pyrotechnics, and a dazzling fireworks display. And come back Sunday for an additional show. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo, celebrating its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th in Lakeland. It's bigger, it's faster, it's louder, it's Sun and Fun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Kelly Abel. Kelly, I don't know if you do a lot of submissions for contests, but there's a very interesting contest that's starting on May 1st, and it's a Writer's Digest third annual self-published ebooks award. Now, publishing has changed a lot, and it's nice that people who write ebooks are getting noticed.
Yes, it is.
And there's a competition that spotlights self-published works and honors self-published authors. And whether you're a professional writer, a part-time freelancer, or just starting, you can enter this competition. The grand prize is $5,000 in cash. And the best thing, the most wonderful thing, is that you get a free trip to New York City for the Writer's Digest Conference.
Oh, I would love to attend that. I love Writer's Digest. They do such an awesome job.
They are just awesome. And to go to this event for a writer is ultimate.
It would definitely be a good deal.
And it's amazing. They're looking for all types of submissions for ebooks. So you have to enter yours. And anybody out there who has an ebook, go to Writer's Digest or to my webpage. It's patsygill.com, and I will have the link to it and the instructions and the rules. But it starts on May 1st, and it would be just amazing if you could win it, or even place, because even the ones who don't win, there's other prizes. The $5,000 is the grand prize, but there's first prize and $1,000, and then it goes down. But just to be listed and to as a Writer's Digest winner,
absolutely, is
a fantastic thing for your resume, and so you really want to look into that one. I think of all the contests out there for ebooks or for independent self-published writers. You know, you have to always be careful, by the way, talking about contests, not to pay for a contest, not to put yourself into one of these contests where you're paying money up front, because they're not real.
I don't always be cautious of those.
Yeah, you have to be cautious. It's like paying an agent up front.
Right. Oh, yes. Definitely don't do that.
If somebody comes in and says, hello, I'm an agent, give me $5,000. Don't run fast, run far away. Exactly. But you know that with Writer's Digest, you have a really great opportunity. And really, you could be like the lowest, like the 100th winner, the lowest on the level. And it's still a great honor
to be listed, to be recognized by them.
Because the people who review the works for them are really the top. They have the top agents and publishers who do this.
It's
a great honor to get past them. It's
like, yes, it is.
Woo, you made it.
Their attention and you've done something.
Exactly. So, you know, it's funny. I like to think of, you know, when we're talking about writers' platforms and the social media and all that, every time I think of Hemingway, and what Hemingway would have said,
had on his Facebook page.
I don't think it would have been very proper. I think he would have had a lot of
things that would have gotten banned.
That's right. I mean, it was bad enough. Yes, he was banned in the 30s.
That's right.
You know, so I think that would be funny. And he would probably go crazy, actually. He would have taken vote and disappeared into the sunset real quick. Right. Now, you have, as you mentioned, you just released your book in March, and you have some events coming up.
I do. I have a book signing in Monticello, Florida, which is at Two Sisters New Beginnings. It's a really nice, their signature is refurbished furniture, but they also do a lot of consignment sales. And it is owned by the sister of my best friend, and they were the two sisters, and unfortunately we just lost her to pancreatic cancer in February. I set the books there because it's just, Monticello, if you've never been there, is just a precious historical town, and the people are wonderful, and I fell in love with it. So I decided, well, you know what, this is where shenanigans should be. So we set it there and did all three books, and I used some of the local stores and the bed and breakfast inns and things like that. They get mentioned in the book, and so it's a lot of fun. The townspeople I've had really good turnouts when I go to those. Then in August 13th, I will be at the Authors After Dark in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's all I've got on the calendar right now, with exception of maybe some local appearances with the Florida Writers Association and attending their group, you know, speaking at their groups and things like that.
So. Now, the event in Atlanta, you're working there with your publisher, right?
Yes, yes.
You're taking in one of the publisher's room, actual
rooms. Yes, World Castle Publishing, and they are able to get event rooms at the event itself. So we will be in a room with just World Castle authors. There'll be about three or four of us. And then we'll also have with us the Paranormal Romance Guild. We'll have a table there, which if you like paranormal romance, it's a great Facebook group to join. And we also have it's an actual guild. We have a club, and if you join as an author, you can get beta reader services, you can get your books, you know, published and reviewed, and not published but reviewed and looked at by readers, and then readers, you can connect with a lot of paranormal authors. So,
and speaking of that, you're a guest host occasionally on a Paranormal Hour, right?
Yes, the Paranormal Hour on World of Ink Network. Yes, it's a lot of fun. We have different ghost hunter groups that come. We have psychics. We have people who've had ghost experiences. So it's a lot of fun.
One of the things I've always liked to do when my boys were young, when we traveled, I always wanted to find hotels where there were ghosts. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and my kids were all, they'd all say, "Mommy, where are you taking us?" And I never like to tell them, you know, I'd plan out these trips and we'd be driving somewhere and going, you know, they weren't sure where we were going. And, like, we went to Jekyll Island.
Oh, love Jekyll Island.
Which is wonderful. And, of course, there, the beautiful old hotel
Yes, there is.
Oh, it's a magnificent hotel. It's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And
Monticello is one of the most haunted cities in the South.
Oh, wow.
So that's another reason I enjoy going there. They have tours, you know, in the whole nine yards. But almost every bed and breakfast that's there is haunted. So it's a lot of fun to go there.
That's great. They must really love you. She's like, they got to put your picture up there on the billboard.
I hope so. That would be great.
You put them on the map. You know?
I hope so.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I think maybe I'm going to do a romance, paranormal in Jekyll Island, and have three big guys on the cover.
There you go.
And then because I love the hotel. It's a wonderful hotel.
It is a wonderful hotel. It is.
It's one of the few places, really one of the few hotels in America. And I'm talking even some very famous big hotels in New York City. But it's one of the few hotels that make a proper English tea.
Ooh.
I mean, it is so good. I mean, they actually know how to...
They know what they're doing.
They boil the water. You know, it's real easy to make tea, you know, if you boil the water. Duh. So it's wonderful.
Sounds
my
like
boys,
a wonderful
my
place.
Boys loved it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I hope I'm not going to say that I went past their room banging on the walls or that mommy did any creepy things, because I wouldn't do that. But it was haunted, and they were afraid a few times. Of course, they were much younger, and they trusted mommy.
But it is
definitely anybody who wants a real fun place to go.
It is great. We did some horseback riding on the beach there, too, which was a lot of fun, too.
It is so amazing.
It is beautiful.
And so we've got that. And I want to just mention again your web page your business web page. Because one of the things that I like there, because it's sort of a one-stop shopping place, mm-hmm. writers don't know about when they start that they need things like book teasers and cover reveals and book trailers.
Web banners
and all of that. And you do all of that.
We do. We have packages. We can do book covers. We do book trailers, also video trailers. We do web banners, cover reveals, you know, basically any graphic arts you need, we can do it. We also do formatting to get your book ready to publish.
So, and this is beside her full-time job. I don't know.
I have some great people that help me.
So. Yeah, I think so. You know, that's like, she does it all.
I definitely have a lot of help. So yeah. that makes it easier.
But it's nice to have it all in one place. And yes. So I think that it's wonderful. Say the name again. Tell people the name.
It's Selectographics, and the website is www.selectographics.com.
Okay. And it's... just been great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, really, it was a pleasure. As I said, when I went to the show, I enjoyed it so much. I'm going to have some of the other authors, and we sent out messages for them all to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will have some more of them on.
You have a lot of choices.
Yes.
there were some great authors there.
Exactly. But of all of them, I thought that with your combination, not just of your great books, which I think I'm so looking forward to reading the one that you just autographed for me.
No, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Oh,
I know I will. And it's just wonderful that you have this. I know that you like to tell your stories, mm-hmm. and then you like to help people get up there.
I do. It's not what I do. It's who I am. I mean, I'm a writer, and if I can help others enjoy the craft, then you know I'm always one to believe in paying it forward. So
that's great. Okay, so everybody, we've been with Kelly Abel today, mm-hmm. and it's just been wonderful. What else do I have? Today I'm going to have next week, and this is very exciting, I'm going to have Tony Armour, the film commissioner for Clearwater in St. Petersburg, and he's going to be on talking about the film industry and about screenplays, and so it's going to be a very interesting show. Please join me next Tuesday. Hi, this is Joy on Paper coming to you from Clearwater, Florida. Join me next week for another show.